Hey everybody, it's Adam here from Come Get Your Podcast. Happy to announce that we're back on schedule and things are going very well, recording-wise, and we're looking forward to getting out more content to everybody. Big thing, we're now on iTunes and Google Play. I know, crazy, but it happened. A large part of that is in thanks to a friend of ours who is helping us put our stuff out there and get known. So, if you have an iTunes account, go look us up. Come Get Your Podcast and subscribe. Maybe leave a rating, make it a nice one. It's amazing. Somewhere in this episode, you'll hear a short little break shouting out our sponsor, but we'll get more into that later. But thanks for listening in advance. Enjoy the episode, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hey there.
We're back.
Missed you guys.
Yeah.
I miss not only our listeners, Jeff and Josh, but I also miss Clark and Dustin.
Yes. I miss your musk.
Gross.
I mean, I can
smell your musk through my microphone, which is weird, but
sexy.
The future's here.
It's Japanese. It's a Japanese microphone. It's a thing.
Future phones.
I also have body pillows that look like you guys.
All right, so what are we doing, man? You know, I feel like we've spent about
some time off.
Some time,
not intentionally took some time off, but we took some time off.
Yeah, for good reasons, obviously. You know,
real life gets in the way sometimes.
I'm not one for excuses, but I have had a lot of stuff happen to me in my personal life, which should have been read about on the Facebook, but in case you didn't know, my house is trying to kill me.
For real.
That I just bought.
How's that going so far, though? I mean, I haven't heard any bad news this week.
There hasn't been any terrible things that have happened lately. Like, knock on wood.
It finally stopped fucking raining.
Well, that was a big part of it, was where we live, there has just been, it's been an absurd summer so far of just rain, lots of it, and a lot of it all at once.
There's been 3 tornado warnings in our area.
It's been ridiculous.
2 that Dustin knew about, 1 that he was not aware of.
That we informed him of.
Yeah, what's going on? There's a tornado?
You're like, I just happened to have I got out of class.
Yeah, I was in Chipotle when that happened. Like, oh, there's a tornado? What are you talking about?
Dude, your priorities are set.
Hey, man, if we get caught because there's a tornado, at least I'm in Chipotle. I'll survive.
There are worse places to be caught up there. So, you know, could be worse.
So this is the first time we've actually all gotten together besides Destiny 2 beta last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was it? It had to be Saturday, right?
Last Saturday, a week ago, the open beta came out for everybody, obviously, because it's an open beta.
Because Clark didn't pre-order it.
No, well, I didn't pre-order it.
I mean, he didn't necessarily need to. I mean, by the time we got to play with him, I mean, technically Chris and I had played the Strike.
Why am I putting you on the spot now?
Times, but
are you going to pre-order it now that they kind of gave another bonus add-on?
I'm gonna wait a little while, because it comes September 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The day before my birthday. And we still got all of August to go, so I'll probably end up doing it, but I also want to make sure nothing else is going to fall apart in my house.
I don't know, Dustin. That sounds like a pretty sweet birthday present, am I right?
You know, you know what? I was just thinking that, and I was going to say, hey, Misty, I know you're listening. Get at us.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. But yeah, I liked the beta. What about you guys?
I very much enjoyed the beta for all that it was. And I'm excited. I'm really excited for the game to come out.
It's the same. The changes that I got to experience playing all 3 classes made me, and I thoroughly enjoyed playing all 3 classes. I found it very fun. The strike was fun. The first mission's cool. I mean, I hope it's a little longer, if there's a little bit more to it. I don't know how it's going to start exactly, but...
Well, the first mission's really long.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it'd be kind of weird if the game just started that way. Although I guess it would be kind of cool. I don't know.
I'm sure they'll do something. Because the first story mission that they gave us, and the only story mission they gave us, seemed very well crafted and thought out. So I would think that there'll be something before, and there'll definitely be more stuff afterwards, because they're on record as saying there's 50-some cutscenes, right, Chris?
Yeah, there's, they said there's going to be 50 long cutscenes.
Which is way more than the first game.
Well, including also that there's also three other locations you're going to be traveling to besides Earth right afterwards. So
that's about 5-6 times more than they had in the first game. So,
well, yeah, in the first game, they, you know, you had Earth, Moon, Venus, Mars. So it's on track with that. But based on what they've said and they, you know, have been released, it seems like it's going to be more.
Yeah, very, very much so. I liked what they did. Again, we didn't try out any PvP at all. I think we had a couple friends that did that seemed
I
did. To...
I think Adam did.
Okay.
Yeah, I played 4 or 5 matches.
So how was the 4v4 format?
It was good. It needed fine-tuning for me, like personally, on sensitivity.
Sure.
On the controller.
Sure.
Trying to find a sweet spot and then getting as close to a sweet spot as possible. The thing I don't like about how they adjust their sensitivity is it goes from 1 to 10, I think.
Yeah.
Or, you know, short range, but there's not anything in between. And so I originally had mine ramped up too high, so I brought it back down and then went, it needed to be adjusted slightly more. Like I was at a 6, went to 5, needed a little more fine tuning, so I went down to 4, but that was too slow.
So, like 4.5. So if there was
like a 4.5 range, which for this is coming out for PC, as I'm sure most people know by now, or I'm sure we've mentioned before. So hopefully for the PC version, you can really get in there and get it right in a sweet spot.
And we'll know that for sure on August 28th, I think it was.
Yeah, that's where the PC beta comes out. But otherwise, as far as multiplayer goes, it was solid. I like 4v4 better than 6v6.
Okay.
And the slower recharge rates for supers and grenades and stuff like that works a lot better there.
Okay. It's interesting. That's something I wouldn't mind trying out. I think it was just when we had this, it was such a limited beta. I think, as you know, Chris and I like PvE so much more. I think that's just all we wanted to do, knowing full well that eventually in the future we're going to play PvP at some point.
Well, here's my thoughts on it, because it was a very thin slice of what they're doing for this game, where you had the one story mission, which is everyone is forced to play it when they started up the beta, and then after you completed the mission, everything else opened up. But you couldn't do the story again, which is fine. And then you had a choice of either doing a strike, or you could do multiplayer stuff, and that was it.
Yeah, and there was two... It was the one strike over and over, but it gave you two PvP options, either a classic control map or their new...
Which is like domination from Call of Duty, if you don't know what control is. And then the other one was what, again?
I don't remember what the new one was called. Countdown?
Is that Countdown. It? Yep, that was it. I didn't play Countdown. I just played Control. So
What's Countdown?
I couldn't tell you.
Kind of like Seek and Destroy, right, from Call of Duty?
Oh, okay.
Search and Destroy.
Search and Destroy, yeah.
Metallica song. Yeah, yeah. I didn't play that mode, but it looked cool. I'm not going to say if it was good or not. Control again. Although now they have it to where you automatically start with your gimme flags on the side you start on, you know? So A and C are already captured. And everyone has to fight over B or go capture the other flag that the other team already has.
Is that a good idea? To me, I don't know. I don't know.
I liked the
sound of that just right off the bat, because you know A and C are always captured first regardless of how far away you put it. I find it, there's always a battle for B in those matches.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that if you really want to be ballsy and go get A or C from the other team, you really have to go into the heart of where they start. So
you're probably going to cross paths.
Exactly. So that
gets the action going a lot faster.
It forces everybody into the middle of the map at B, where it rightly should be. And I don't know. I kind of like the way that sounds. I'd like to see how it feels with 4v4, but I kind of like that.
it works. Having them, your gamey flags automatically already captured in 4v4 works, because if it's 6v6, someone's going to stay back and capture your gamey flag in the old way they did it, right? Like, it's almost, it's 99.9% of the time that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and honestly, most times it's too many people staying back to capture that because they just want the points.
Right.
And it's two people trying to go grab B, and then they get slaughtered.
So this forces the action a lot faster, which is great.
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
And it seemed to work well. I was still running into like Destiny 1 style latency problems where, you know, something wasn't just quite right. Shots weren't landing that looked like they were supposed to be landing.
Sure.
I want to hope that gets fixed for the release of the actual game, but I'm not having high hopes.
Or because... he's just bad.
Or I'm just wow. bad. Or I'm just bad. I don't know. So my whole point of this is, like, once you play through the beta or the story stuff, you're good. It was mainly there for the multiplayer, and I was having issues with the multiplayer with latency and stuff like that. So, you know, it doesn't sound good, but I still like the beta for how narrow it was, because there's going to be so much more that we don't know about, and that's going to be fun to explore. That's mainly my penultimate point here, is like, it was a very, very narrow window into what Destiny 2 is, and there wasn't a lot, and a lot of people are complaining that it didn't have a lot of replayability, and I'm fine with that.
It's a beta.
Yeah, it's a beta, exactly.
And the thing is that they also extended the beta till Tuesday, last Tuesday.
They did.
Because of the latency problems. Because they wanted to do more testing on it.
They wanted to put more stress on their servers.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. That makes me think that Bungie was listening, and I believe they are.
But they're not. PvP is not going to have dedicated servers again.
That makes no sense.
Which, side note, guess what game is getting dedicated servers now?
For Honor.
For Honor, of all games, is getting dedicated servers.
Really?
Yeah, 5 months after it came out.
I mean, that's a strict PvP game, isn't it?
It's, well, there is a single player mode. I don't know how good or bad it is. I mean, like, I played the beta for that and then saw probably what it was going to be, and it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I was like,
As was the case for, I think, a large part of their player base as well. Like, the people who have played that game have dropped dramatically in the past several months. I had a lot of fun with it, but not the game for me. But, I mean, now they're getting dedicated servers, so I don't know. Maybe they'll get a little boost in numbers again. Time will tell. Maybe, I mean, if For Honor can do it 5 months after release, maybe Destiny 2 will eventually as well. Maybe for PC, who knows?
Or, I hope they go down the route that, I mean, I know it's only an early access game, but, you know, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, consistent updates all the time.
I ran into a good argument on that a couple days ago, where someone was like, everyone's going bananas over the fact that, oh, PlayerUnknown is constantly updating the game. They're adding so much stuff. It's an early access, so shouldn't they be doing that? Because it's not a full game.
Yes,
that is true. They should be doing that.
And there's the other side of that coin, I guess. But that being said, I do like what they're adding to the game to make it one day a full release. I don't know.
For them, it's definitely a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like, you can, people, especially hardcore players, are so hard to please.
Yes, they are.
Because even the latest thing that they introduced, which is, they introduced some, like, crates that are paid cosmetic items, and people are complaining about that.
I don't think they're actually in the game yet, but they introduced the idea of it.
Yeah, and from what I read, it's based off of a movie, well, one of them is based off movie Battle Royale, I think it was in Japan.
Yes, well, I think it was a Japanese movie. It's essentially what this game was made from, that movie. It's a great movie. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
I looked it up, and I was like, okay.
It's a good time.
But yeah, I mean, this is exactly this is what Destiny did. This is what, I know, League of Legends did. This is essentially what even Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch do, is that you could pay money. It does not affect your gameplay whatsoever. But if you want to spend money to make your character look
purely
cooler,
cosmetic,
that's up to you. Go for it. Nothing's going to stop you.
The problem is some of these items that you saw, like there's three or four, maybe a little more, one or two more outfits from characters in Battle Royale that are going to be in the game that you cannot get without paying for.
The only thing I can see for Battlegrounds is how they look. because if these characters are darker or depending on their shade, easier to hide, I mean, like in grass or foliage, yeah, all right, maybe there's an advantage at that point, but
most of these costumes are bright colors, like bright yellow, bright orange.
But it's also like a $2.50 for these, the keys
to for a key like a... for to get a crate or potentially to open a crate.
Power to them. If it's not affecting your gameplay and it's not making you better, who cares?
The way it works normally, or right now anyway, is you play the game, play your round, whether it's by yourself or with friends, and then either when you die or you finish the game, you happen to win, you get currency. I think they're just called coins, right?
Or yeah, I think so.
Something. So you get currency, and the better you do, the longer you live, the more currency you get. You take this currency and you put it into crates that you can purchase in game, and those will give you cosmetic items. So the problem is with these fancy looking outfits, you have to pay to get them, which is fine by me. You cannot get them, at least from what I read, you cannot ever have a chance of getting them normally from how you normally open crates. The other issue is there is a possibility that once the game goes gold and live and fully released, they're gonna do like CSGO, and you won't get in-game currency to open crates. You will have to actually purchase keys.
Okay, so the first part, I don't mind. If you have to pay to get it and you can't get it by normal means, I don't mind that.
Whatever, yeah.
I don't like the second part, though.
It's worrying. It's not confirmed. It's just, you know, something that is a possibility. That's how Counter-Strike does it. So,
well, I base that, like, PlayerUnknown, the guy who makes the game, he seems like he's, like, a for-the-gamer guy because that's where he came from. He was just a player that played Arma 2. And made the was it H1Z1?
He helped with their battle royale version of H1Z1. He also helped make a battle royale mod for Arma.
So essentially, I feel like he's one of us, you know. And I don't foresee him doing that now. I doubt it's just his decision.
We'll see. They got to make money, so I get it. But at the same time, like, the game's not fully released yet. Is this what you should really be concentrating on right now? And like you said, maybe it's not him, maybe this is just a whole different division of the company that's doing this, and it just gets put under his name, obviously, because it's his game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just announcing stuff like this, so it's not, you know, if they decide to put it in the game at release, it's not like a shock to people playing it,
catch people off guard.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. The first part, it does not bother me at all. Not at all. Like, imagine pre-ordering a game. You pre-order a game, you're paying extra money to get extra content and possibly extra skins, outfits, whatever that other people cannot get at all later on if they just purchase the standard version of the game. Like, we see that all the time. So
yeah.
I feel like that's just a smaller version of that. So if I'm going to pay $2.50 and I get to open up a crate that gives me, you know, an outfit that, like you said, does not affect gameplay whatsoever, unless it's bright orange or bright yellow, and then you can see me, which would make no sense. But I mean, if I want to pay to do that, or if I'm playing against somebody who wants to pay to do that so I can see them, whatever, that does not bother me, because it's just, like you said, it's extra money that just goes into the game to make improvements. It does not bother me at all.
Well, and I think even with League of Legends, because I know they're one of the main people that do the cosmetic items, they make a crap ton of money from that, because that's what people want.
Steam makes their money.
Yeah, and like, I know we've all, like, I don't want to keep going back to Destiny, but we've all put money into just buying different emotes and stuff into that. Like, who cares? Like, people might complain about it, and we know some people that make fun of us for doing it, but it's like, then you get special events and new updates and stuff that's like, we technically paid for that with what we bought. So, like, enjoy it. It doesn't bother me. Like, it's my money.
You can look into it like you're making an investment on the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly how I always view it when I purchase something like that. Like, I've purchased extra stuff in Overwatch, even though I paid for the game. But I enjoy the game so much that I feel like, yeah, you guys deserve this extra $10. I'm going to throw you this random time. It's not like I do it every week. So
if it's something I enjoy, and I play it, and if I want to spend money on it, that's my fucking choice.
Exactly.
Don't tell me what I can spend my money on.
I'm an almost 30-year-old man. Like, I can make my own decisions on if I want to maybe get that or not, and if I want to use my money and how I want to use it. Exactly. Don't be mad at me.
Exactly.
I'm not. It's yeah. Like the big point is here. This is nothing that I'm paying for that make me headshot you every single time I look in your direction. It's not. You're not paying for hacks or anything like that. It's literally just how you look in game, and just stop bitching about it, people. Oh, someone's car alarm's going off in my neighborhood. That's fun.
Oh, I could hear that.
But I think that'll stop people from going to like, the military base a lot.
We'll see. I heard an interesting thing the other day. Hold on. I'm going to make sure this isn't my car somehow.
Sure. Sure.
It's those damn youths. Hey, this is a good segue. This could be our commercial.
And then it magically stops right as I get up, of course.
This could be our commercial time.
Oh, fucking idiots.
Okay, it's time for the first official Come Get Your Podcast ad read. If you're listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Podbean, it isn't thanks to Slumberyard Handcrafted. What is that, you might be asking? I know it's a little weird to be doing this. Slumberyard Handcrafted makes solid wood furniture, and not just furniture. Anything you can almost think of that you can have made of wood, I bet Slumberyard could do. I know for a fact Slumberyard is making a custom kayaking paddle out of wood. Like, what? Who does that? Slumberyard does. It's run by the dear friend of mine and podcast friend, Josh Kincaid, who also is a contributor to some of the questions you've been listening to. If you're in Northern Illinois and would like some awesome, high-quality wooden furniture, look up Slumberyard. You can look them up at facebook.com/slumberyardhandcrafted, or they actually have their very own website, too, slumberyardhandcrafted.com. Honestly, I can personally speak to the quality of craftsmanship Josh does though over there at Slumberyard, because he built a very, very nice California King bed frame for my wife and I. So I literally live his product every single day. That means I can tell you it's amazing. So please, if you want something from a bed frame all the way down to maybe a beer caddy or something like that, check out slumberyardhandcrafted.com. So thank you so much, Slumberyard Handcrafted, and Josh, for allowing us to get on iTunes and Google Play. We have no right being there, but this man made it possible. So go check out his stuff, and let's get back to the episode.
So I think something really good actually did happen to Clark in this past week, though. I know you had a trying month, but
it's been a hell of a month. And I decided to treat myself.
Treat yourself.
Because otherwise I'd go fucking insane.
Yeah, it was like Christmas come early, right?
It was Christmas in July for me. I bought myself a Switch because I found one.
I don't have the thing out.
Baby boy is flying high.
Amazon had some more come in, and I was one of the lucky few to snatch one up. And I got it at a pretty good price, too, so that helped a lot.
You
need to
get some Amazon points or something?
I have a credit card through Amazon, and the more you use it, you get points, quote-unquote, back onto your Amazon account, which transfer into real money. So I got the Switch and Breath of the Wild for about half of what the console costs. So
can't beat that deal.
I think it was a win. It contradicts completely earlier when we were talking about me not pre-ordering Destiny because I didn't want to spend the money in case something breaks in my house. But
technically, you've been wanting to get the Switch since before.
Oh, yeah. I've been on the Switch for the past couple months.
Exactly. So, timeline-wise, this is proper.
Hey, look, you just gotta know, once in a while, you gotta look at your life and just say YOLO.
Oh, God.
Yeah, pretty much, essentially, that's what it comes down to. Earlier this week?
Yeah, how's it been?
I haven't played a lot, but what I have played, I've enjoyed very much from Breath of the Wild. And just in general, the system itself is, I don't know, there's a lot of good potential there.
Sure.
Eventually, I'm going to want Mario Odyssey just because that game looks amazing to me. And I haven't played a Mario game that I bought myself since probably Mario 64, really. I never had any other Nintendo systems after 64. Wow. So this is my first Nintendo system in a long time. And I have played Galaxy and Galaxy 2 a little bit because my nephew had those. And they were a lot of fun. For some reason, Mario Odyssey is just, I don't know, it's hitting something inside me. Like, it's hitting the right nerve or button, I guess. Same thing with Breath of the Wild, too.
You want to turn into a dinosaur, I get it.
Fuck yeah, who doesn't want to turn into a T-Rex with a mustache?
Right. All the other dinosaurs fear the T-Rex.
Exactly.
Apex Predator. We kind of alluded to this a little bit before we were recording when we were talking about Breath of the Wild, but I called it. As soon as I started playing it, I was like, Clark, you would love this game. But for me,
I think we've talked about this on a previous episode.
We have
too many options. Yeah,
too much for me.
I don't know. As you know me, I'm not a big Nintendo guy. I'm not a big Zelda guy. But you saying that actually makes me want to play it more.
You're gonna love Breath of the Wild when you play it. When you get your Wii U back.
Yeah, whenever. I guess I can get that back whenever. But yeah, you can. Depending on how you like the Switch, I may just do that. I mean, if you like it enough.
It's a very small sample size because I've only played it three times or something like that for a handful of hours. Because mainly this week especially, it's been I finish work 10-12 hour day and then I just lay down in bed and fall asleep.
Yeah, it's a pile of mush.
Yeah. But what I have played with it's really, I don't know, it's cool. I like it because if for some reason you don't know what a Switch does, it's Nintendo's attempt and seemingly successful attempt to have a home console on your TV, which you can easily just take part of the console out and it turns into a little gamepad tablet.
Yeah, they definitely tried with the Wii U. I think for the most part it was successful, but Switch definitely.
I think this is what they wanted to do with the Wii U, right? So basically, it's plugged into your TV, you're playing, you have your controllers in your hand and playing it, and then, you want to go somewhere or you just want to go in a different room. So you can't play on a TV. It's literally you just click the controllers into the screen. The console screen, and then you literally just lift it off. It's not connected via cable or anything like that. You literally just pick it up and it instantly just goes to the tablet screen. And same thing when you want to put it onto a TV, you literally the dock for the console has a power cable in it and an HDMI cable already in it. So literally all you do is just set it in the dock and it just goes there because it's little infrared sensors on the bottom that connect, and that's how it goes to the TV, and it's instant.
Okay,
it's nice.
It's really cool, very futuristic.
So, what are the controls like? So, do you pop the sides off?
Okay, so you have your, I think, what are they called, Joy-Cons?
Yeah, is that what they're calling them?
I think so. So, depending on what mode you want it in, there's several things. So, if it's connected to a TV, you can have the two little Joy-Con things separate in your hand, and like a Wiimote, essentially.
Yeah.
Except there's two of them. And so think of it like a controller where left stick controls movement, right stick controls camera, and you have your buttons that do whatever. So you can do it that way. Or it comes with a little controller thing where you can slide and click the controllers into. And then it's kind of like a, not as big or chunky as a 360 controller, but similar to that style, right?
Okay.
It has little grip handles like a 360 controller, and then you just slip them in and they'll click in, and then you can play it like a normal controller. Or you can put it into the actual screen console itself and play it like you're playing an old Game Gear, like a Sega Game Gear.
Okay, yeah.
It's like that. Or you can have the screen thing separate from the dock. And then there's a little stand in the back that you can kick out, and then you can just play it like that's your TV and have the controllers off of it too.
Wow. Okay.
There's also, multiplayer games out there, more coming out, where you can play split screen on the TV or, on the little screen itself, and you can turn the two little Joy-Con things into two separate controllers.
That's genius.
It is. The only thing I don't like about that is, so there's a left and right controller Joy-Con thing. The right one, because of how it's designed for if you're playing it like a Game Gear or on a controller, the right thumbstick's lower because that's just how all controllers are except for Sony's.
Yeah, sure.
When you're playing, if you're playing a two-player game, I haven't actually played a two-player game yet, but you know, you take them off and you turn them sideways and you're holding them like little tiny controllers.
Yeah.
The right one stick is in the dead center of it, which is a little awkward, but not impossible.
Right, until you get used to it, and then it's...
Right, it's just a matter of getting used to it. I don't really like it that much. But they also offer, they call it a pro controller, but that's $70, which is a little little steep for a controller.
Of course it is. Yeah.
But it's exactly like an Xbox One controller, essentially.
Could you use the one that you could buy for the Wii U?
I don't know.
Because I have a Wii U Pro controller.
You might be able to. Well, there are USB ports on the console itself, so like you can, or the dock. So technically, you could probably pair it. I don't know if it's wireless or not. Sounds like you could probably do something with it.
Yeah, I would say that might be a little bit of a loophole in that scenario, though.
All I know is that Dustin cannot play Breath of the Wild until he beats Ocarina of Time.
I mean, I've never even
never played Zelda game.
The first one, yeah, and I never beat it because I was fucking 8 years old, maybe six. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. So yeah, I don't know if the very first one. I don't even know what it was called. Is it just Zelda? It was a gold
cartridge
I had. Yeah, I don't know. I've never even seen Ocarina of Time. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what it even looks like.
You gotta do that. I mean, you could play Breath of the Wild first, but you should probably play Ocarina of Time.
Hey, man. I'm working through them, so I can add that to the list.
Attaboy.
So the little bit you've played of Breath of the Wild, Clark,
mm-hmm.
What would you say?
10 out of 10.
5 out of 7?
5 out of negative 5. What? No, it's a great game. I'm loving it. If you like Skyrim, I highly recommend it. If you like Zelda, obviously, I highly recommend it. It's for me, for sure. It's not for everybody, I can see why, because it's different than the other Zelda games, but I really like what it's got going on.
And I'll reiterate again, I've said it before, like, it's not a bad game. It wasn't for me.
And oh man, it's so pretty.
Oh, it's a beautiful game, and it's very, you know, the controls are great. It handles very well,
mm-hmm.
But there is just so much. You're like, your weapons break, and you gotta keep bringing weapons. Couldn't tell you how many boss fights I did. At least two, I could say for sure, that I had no weapons.
They're not hard to find, but you are limited to how much you can carry. Mm-hmm. So you definitely have to be prepared for boss fights. I haven't gotten to a main boss fight yet, but obviously because I haven't had much time to play. But from what I know, you definitely have to go in prepared with several things.
When you're I'm excited for you to get into it, and eventually I plan on beating it. It's a game that I am right before Ganon's castle, and I gotta go back. I eventually gotta play it.
I'm gonna take my time and enjoy it for what it is, because it has a lot to offer.
There's a shit ton of side quests
that
you can do,
and I like that shit, so that's me, so I'm excited.
So
yeah, but this flashback classic retro is having a resurgence right now.
It's the cool trend with the kids.
Because now Sega Genesis and Atari, but it's not the actual companies. Themselves. I forget who actually owns Atari at this point. Or Sega? I don't know, because I know it's not the original, but
I think part of Sega is under Nintendo.
I think so too. So I'm not quite just don't know sure. Which parts. Yeah.
But that being said, like Dustin said, there is going to be a Sega Genesis and an old Atari retro console coming out. The Sega one has an actual physical thing that you can look at, whereas I know Atari has released concept art, but it's not any, you know, they say they're going to do like a old school, like the wood paneling looking one, like the originals. And they're also doing like a black and red one, but it's all just been concept art, so there's no actual thing yet.
Sega Genesis actually has their game lineup and what it looks like in the controllers in this one.
Apparently, it's not doing so hot on the people who have tested it, like because it has wireless controllers, which is, you know, it's 2017. You should probably have wireless controller abilities, but apparently, there's a lot of problems going on with the connection between the console and them, and like you have to be looking directly at it and within a certain range, otherwise it just drops.
it's not even just that either. Like, to change the battery, I guess it takes triple A's. To change the battery in this thing, you have to unscrew it with a screwdriver and then change the battery.
Oh, God.
Well, that's to prevent people, you know, from throwing their controllers and losing their batteries when they can't get it to sync up with the the actual console.
It's genius. Well, the thing that's weird though is on the front it has the ports to plug in a controller.
But that's why I was gonna say that. Like,
does it actually come with cables?
No, it doesn't come with cables. You have to purchase those separately.
Okay.
But you can get them. Actually might support if you still have your old Sega Genesis controllers. You might be able to plug those in.
That would be awesome.
However, it's like, I know with Super Nintendo controllers, because I had to buy two new ones because the ones that Misty had were old and on their way out. It was only like $5 for pair of them. So it's not going to set you back. It's just time, mainly. What else here? It's got 85 games. That's cool.
Yeah, but the name Sega Genesis Flashback, which is what it's called, is very misleading, just so you know.
How so?
There are 85 Sega Genesis games, mm-hmm. and Sega Master System games, and Game Gear games, but they're not all Sega games.
No, they're not. Let's run over some of the highlights first before we really get into the juicy tender meat of this thing.
So, you have classics such as Sonic, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic 3D Blast. You also have one of my favorite RPG series, Phantasy Star, all four of them. You also have
Mortal Kombat 2 and 3.
Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, my apologies. Mm-hmm. Also 1. 1's on there too.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. On the PDF I sent you, and the very top, it says includes, and then right under there, there's games, it says.
Yes. Okay, I see you now.
And then you have Altered Beast, you have Comic Zone, you have Shining Force, you have Vector Man, Kid Chameleon, you have Golden Axe. Those are the highlights, you guys.
Yeah, but, I mean, then you get, great games like Crackdown and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
I wasn't aware Crackdown was a Sega Genesis game before it was on Xbox.
Look.
Mahjong Solitaire, man. Sold.
You hate all you want, but I can't wait to play Fish Story.
Well, you got your Fish Story. You also have Mr. Balls.
You have Naval Power. They struck up a deal with Nokia and got Snake.
They got Snake. I was just looking at that.
I think, although my favorite one out of all this is Warehouse Keeper, where you are some kind of owner of a set of warehouses. Maybe in Baltimore. Maybe you're the warehouse owners in Baltimore that are in The Wire or something. That's what I like to think that as. I don't know. There's a lot of games on here that either weren't from Sega or Sega made and never released.
And I think we're missing out on the fact that At Games, who makes this, partnered up with DC on the WB, and they combined Arrow and Flash into the game Arrow Flash.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
So. You have Canon, which is either about gigantic weaponry or it's about a series of printers. I'm not sure.
Well, and then you have the Sega version of Tetris, Columns. And mm-hmm. you have Columns 3. They just skipped Columns 2. They knew which was the good ones were.
Exactly. They're here for you. You have Cross the Road, which isn't, only Cross is capitalized. I don't know. It seems like the first part of a sentence that was never finished.
I can't wait to play Hangman. Like, like those classics, like, checkers, chess, Hangman.
No.
Checker. Sorry. Checker. It's not even checkers.
No, it is checker. So you play as one checker on an adventure of some kind. And chess, too. That could be singular as well. We don't know.
Well, and they're missing out on an opportunity. Like, where's Cool Spot?
Right? Thank you.
Where's Cool Spot?
We need Cool Spot.
And I'm glad it's 2017 because I can't wait to go back and play Maze 2010.
Dude, I can't wait to play Curling 2010.
Oh, man. Fight or Lose? Look, we can go on. We can go on with this
real quick, though. I don't want to move on quite yet because I want to know what you guys think, unless you actually know, what Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is.
I want to think it's like Candy Crush, but for Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I immediately thought just of...
Just in a Sonic Eggman skin.
I honestly thought that was Tetris, so...
I think it's an RPG where Dr. Robotnik opens a chain of coffee stores.
It's a legit game. Like, it was... I remember seeing it in Video Outlet, and I'm going in the past when I say Video Outlet for sure.
There's some... And, wait, no, it's Family Video. Never mind.
On Let's Play Sega, which is kind of like this rating setting, this game is a 4.8 out of 5.
Really?
So...
They really just captured the trials and tribulations of opening a coffee chain?
It looks like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, oh. It's a falling block puzzle game, so it's like Tetris. It's like what I just said. It's all it is.
It's Candy Crush.
Yeah, it's any of those. So
they should make this into a TV show.
Have we mentioned anything about Fish Tank Live yet?
We have not.
That's got to be the prequel to Seaman.
No, I think that's the sequel to Fish Story.
Yeah, but it's a sequel to Fish Story, but it's the prequel to Seaman.
See, you get trilogies in this pack, man. You get multiple trilogies in this pack. It's great.
Fish Story. Hold on. Shitty attempt at Finding Nemo and Toy Story.
Am I just seeing this? E-SWAT, City Under Siege, and Siege is spelled incorrectly.
Sure is. It's spelled incorrectly.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So, also there's a game called Flicky.
That's kind of perverted.
Well, I honestly, I think Flicky coincides with Dr. Robotnik's Meat and Bean Machine.
I think that's an actual game.
So you have Dr. Robotnik mean Flicky Bean Machine.
Oh my gosh.
Just combine the two. and that you just, instead of opening up a chain of coffee stores, he opens up a chain of sex shops around America.
And then the ooze happens.
Mean Flicky Bean Machine is fucking... Oh my god.
I'm gonna interlude right here, so we cut this out, we edit. That's our title for this podcast.
Mean Flicky Bean Machine for sure.
That was genius.
Oh, so Dr. Robot is the protagonist, and his adversary for the game is Mr. Balls, which is a competitor chain of sex shops.
Oh, and they're just in search of the mythical clitoris.
Well, thing too is that
nature's Rubik's Cube.
We're definitely ragging on this, and there are some bad games in here. The thing is that this thing is $70.
You do get a lot of good games for $70.
There are. We talked about a Sega Genesis classic on our last podcast, mm-hmm. and I can see myself buying this one because there are some games that I'm like, oh crap, I would love that. Like, just, I know we could go emulator. I could play these on emulator, but man, to play the Phantasy Star series,
and
would be fantastic.
Like I said, you can get wired controllers that, I don't know if they're like the original ports or whatever, or if they're USB, but you can get either of those on Amazon or wherever real cheap. So,
well, this controller that comes with it, that it gives you, like, it has buttons on there, not just the start menu, but it gives you the, like, the save menu, and then mm-hmm. also allows you to do, like, the, like, you can put, like, the classic lines on the television. I don't know if that makes sense. So
it's up to the individual. There's a lot there.
Just like the Super Nintendo one, it's not for everybody.
No, there's a lot, and there's a lot of crap, but at the same time, like, you, there's what we mentioned, around 10 or 12 really good games.
I feel like there is enough here to make it worth it. I still am not gonna buy it, just because, again, I can go to Paco's and play these games on his
arcade cabinet with several different emulators.
Yeah, I've played Altered Beast at his house on the arcade, which is how I first originally played Altered Beast. But
well, and the thing too is that a lot of these games you could already purchase on, like, Nintendo's virtual console store. You know,
so Sega has their own virtual console store now too on Android and iPhone. Yep.
So it's definitely going on the nostalgia market. Same thing with the Atari one coming out that we don't have a lot of information about, and they're definitely, they're going to sell some. People are going to buy these up for sure.
There are enough completionists out there with consoles that may have either never played these when they were a kid, or got rid of it or lost it as they grew up that are going to go and buy these to re-get that collection. And I don't know, like I said, there are enough games here that I think it is justifiable for the amount of money since it is.
And, you know, the Phantasy Star Series games are not short games by any means. They're pretty lengthy.
No, yeah. So
there's a lot of that. Oh, hold on. Guys, they have plumbing contest.
I'm sold. I'm buying one.
Pre-ordered it right now.
No, but I mean, I think with what you get, you know, and like and Clark said, like Phantasy Star games, those games that I know of, at least, they're not available on a virtual console or anywhere to buy. Mm-mm. And some of those games, like the first Phantasy Star and the second Phantasy Star, I've not really played too much of. I played the third one, grew up on those games, and I definitely played the fourth one. So that'd be like a great, you know, go back in time and, you know, definitely play some of these games.
They're great games.
Yeah, I mean, and it is weird. I think Chris and I have talked about this before, that we were more Sega and then PlayStation kids growing mm-hmm. up, opposed to Nintendo. So I definitely feel the pull of this one more than the, you know, other than the classic NES, which I own, but like the Super Nintendo one, like I have no, like, I just, it doesn't pull at me at all. But like, I am finding myself being like, man, I remember playing Sega a lot as a kid and I really enjoyed a lot of these games. Like that's, I just, I don't know. Maybe retro. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into buying one. I don't. I can't tell.
well, the thing is that retro and nostalgia is a big purchase factor. It really is, and this is what, like you just said, like I didn't grow up really on Nintendo, and the Super Nintendo one does interest me because I know there are good games. But
sure,
I have the pull on this one too. It's like, oh man.
Yeah, I remember playing these games on my Sega in my basement at my parents' house. Like, I don't know.
It's a little too pricey for me, even though it's not, what, 70?
Yeah.
It's a little too, I mean, I get why it has to be 70, because 60 is a price of a normal game. So, like, it's a great deal at $70. It just seems still, like, a little too, especially because it's not Sega doing it, it's a third party.
Yep. That's the only thing that really kind of gives me pause, I guess, at this point. But then again, I think, like we said, I don't know who owns Sega at this point. It's not the original
company. Does anybody?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Could I buy Sega?
Sega Atari? You might be able to for $140, just the price of two of these consoles. I don't know.
I'm interested to see what. Okay, I'm really interested to see what Atari does, because. And how much they charge.
Those are some old ass games.
Because I wouldn't pay $70 for Pitfall and a couple other games like that for graphics like that.
Pac-Man, Donkey Kong.
If they're gonna try to do those retro consoles that are wood and all that stuff, like this is it's gotta be fairly expensive because that's not cheap to manufacture.
I think it's gonna be like laminate. It's just gonna look the style of it's gonna look, you know,
still I mean I don't know if you could get me to pay $20 for an old Atari. So
from what I understand, it's going to have a lot of the older games, which you should expect. But Atari also made games like around. I think they even still make game, like have a hand in making games now.
You know, I guess that's true. That is right.
I would assume they'd probably incorporate quote unquote newer things from over the years.
Yeah, it's not just all going to be Pong.
I mean, I do like me some Pong. I do like me some Pitfall. So
sure. I guess we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait on the price and see what their game lineup is. And
I will say the concepts they have given for how the consoles are going to look, both styles, they look real sleek. So
I can see the price point definitely for the Sega, what it is. I could not see the Atari one being more than $40, if even that.
$40 for some reason hits me in it's high, but it's also hit me in like a sweet spot depending on what's on there.
Yeah, like Adam just said, like if there's some newer games that Atari had their hand in that created for whatever else, I mean that might drive the price up depending.
But they better have ET on that bad boy.
I do like this trend though, but eventually you're gonna catch up with yourself. So like
yeah,
there's been a lot of rumors of N64 Mini.
Yeah, I think that'd be the last one that they could really do.
I don't know.
GameCube Mini.
honestly, if they came out with a PS1 and they were like, here's a retro PlayStation 1 Mini that's got all these old PS1 games, I'd be like, oh, is Metal Gear Solid on there? I want to fucking play that right now. Like, you might get me with shit like that.
I think they're trying to do that with PS Now.
Yeah, you know, just include it in. But like, we can just purchase it.
If they did come out with a retro PS1 console, I'd be interested in it.
Yeah, because like I said, I own Final Fantasy VII on my PS4 right now. I could just go play it. It was like $10.
I own Final Fantasy VII on my PlayStation 1 right now.
Oh, see, yeah.
But at some point, like I said, you catch up with yourself. And it reminds me of my favorite Office quote from Kevin, who is asked if he wants a mini cupcake. And he says, mini cupcakes? You're asking me if I want a mini version of a cupcake, which is just a mini version of a regular cake. Where does it end with you people?
Yep.
That is true.
People are sucker for nostalgia. You know, that's why you always have trends come back. You know, like, yo-yos make a comeback every so often. And
well, hopefully by the next time we record, maybe we have more information on it. Just wait to see what they come out with, just to see with Atari what, yeah. I don't know. I'll wait, see what happens. Last night I went to Waukesha and saw Dunkirk in 70mm IMAX. It's good.
I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah, it's...
How would you describe it?
I think I told you guys before we started recording it. Zach, one of our friends, described it perfectly. It's a war movie that has a lot of violence that doesn't have violence. It's weird. It's a weird description, but it's very good. It's I don't want to spoil anything. It's just very cool. It's like, you just have to see it. It's funny at the end. It's like written and directed by Christopher Nolan. It's like, there's not a whole lot of dialogue in that movie. It's weird to say. It's like, there are parts where it's like perfect dialogue. It's when it's needed, but there's a whole lot of acting in the face and in the moment and what's going on. It's like a very intense movie.
That's what I heard about it.
That has enough moments that aren't intense to kind of give you a break. But there are times where I was like, I might have to sit at the edge of my chair because this is insane.
Well, let me ask you, I'm pretty sure what's on most people's minds is, how's Harry Styles?
That's who that was.
Yeah.
He's in that movie. He's fantastic.
Awesome.
He's fantastic. I was like, where have I seen this kid before? His face looks familiar. He's good in it. He's fantastic.
All right. Well, I know this past week has been rough for all of us just time wise, but I mean, we have been playing some games, right?
Yeah, when we can. It's whatever we could muster up to get the time to do. Yeah.
What have you been playing, or what are we going to be playing in the coming weeks?
Well, you guys saw what I was playing. As I said on our last podcast, I would pick a game, a solo player game, and I would beat it by the time I recorded next. And I'm proud to say I have beaten The Last of Us, DLC included. Yeah. And you guys were right. It was a great game. I think I found out the problem was when I played up to the point where I had stopped previously, it felt the same. It was like, this is okay. It's whatever. But after you get done with that Bill part and you start to get to the high school and you see a bloater for the first time and then the story really starts to progress, mm-hmm. I almost couldn't stop playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the first time I played it and stopped, I stopped just short of the game really starting to take off.
I still remember the first time I played it, and just that opening scene, I just remember being like, what the fuck?
It's so heart-wrenching just to begin with, and you're like, wow.
It's a great narrative.
Oh, yeah. But yeah,
congratulations. Like,
I'm happy for you.
So now I've started playing Wolfenstein. And I've only played like the first mission, so that I have nothing to report as of yet on that one.
Well, I can speak to that a little bit, I guess.
There you go.
That was the game I was playing last time we recorded, and since then I have beaten the game on one of the storylines, and it is also amazing. That's a really good story. And it's Wolfenstein, so, like, you know, and a good Wolfenstein, I should say. So it's a lot of fun to play. I want to replay it again so I can do the other side of the story, but I'm going to hold off on that for a while.
Yeah, I was unaware that there were even multiple stories in that game.
There's a point where you make a decision and it splits the game into two separate storylines. So
you did that already.
Yeah, you told me.
I'm not going to get into it in case someone else hasn't played it, but there's a choice you make and it separates it.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you while I was doing that. And you're like, oh, you picked the opposite of what I just did. I was like, okay. That's interesting.
And it's a lot of fun. I need to play the DLC prequel to it, but I'll get around to that eventually. Because after I finished Wolfenstein, I started up playing Metal Gear Solid 5, which I had never also previously finished.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's a great game, man. It's so much fun. I'm taking my time with it a little bit so I can do all the side missions because I want to get everything possible. And I'm having a great time with it, even though I got my Switch and stuff like we talked about before, and Breath of the Wild is probably taking up a few hours of what I otherwise would have tried playing Metal Gear. But I think I'm going to mainly concentrate on Metal Gear, get done with that, and then switch over to Breath of the Wild and finish that story. But I'm loving Metal Gear still. It holds up. It looks gorgeous. Mechanically, it's super sound. So, like, it's a fun time.
I don't have any new games at all that I haven't played before. But I did re-download Arkham Knight for PS4. And I started that.
I also own that and I've never played it.
Oh, my gosh.
I've beaten a lot of that game. I'm at the very end, but I had borrowed it.
To show you, to just explain to you how much I love this game. So it's 2 years old. And actually, this is the funny thing. I looked because I had previous save games in there. Every year around this time, apparently I replay this game.
Oh,
that's kind of cool.
A cycle.
It's like an Arkham Knight menstrual cycle. And when it first came out 2 years ago, I played it. And I 100%ed it completely. Because it gives you can beat the game and then you can do like a new game plus. I did that the second time as well. And now I'm playing it again on the hardest difficulty. And it's such a fun game.
It is a lot of fun.
You're Batman and you're kicking ass.
That actually just reminded me. So Adam, on Metal Gear Solid 5, you're playing a no-kill version?
Mm-hmm.
So does that make it even harder?
No. It's just a little more challenging. I'm playing on normal difficulty. Like, if I had played it on the hardest difficulty, that's a challenge.
Yeah, then you'd be killing people.
Well, you just don't have as many weapon options at all. You have, like, two. Sure. I think eventually you're going to have, like, two weapons or more, depending on, like, what grenades or anything else you use.
But yeah, I'm just using trank rounds, or I have a stun SMG, what is it called? It's a SMG riot version, so it shoots rubber bullets.
Sure. So do you get something special for not killing anybody, or is this just like a personal challenge?
Probably just a trophy, but I mean, it's just a personal thing. It's a stealth game. Like, I'm trying to just play it as stealthy as possible. There is, I don't know, obviously I haven't beaten it, so like I don't know if it's unlocked later. In the older games, there was a difficulty version called European Hard Mode, and that's insane. Like, if you're spotted, game over.
Really? I don't know if they have that or not.
I've watched people do playthroughs of like Metal Gear Solid 3 and 4 on European hard mode, and it's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand how they're that stealthy.
Well, especially 3. Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm going to do when I play Metal Gear Solid 5 again?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do kill only mode just to equal out the guys that you don't kill.
That's fair.
So then we break even.
Yeah. It's a nice middle
between
ground.
The two. And that's going to be weird to be that hardcore evil by just killing everybody.
Well, I'm working to a point where I can get the sniper rifle that shoots trank rounds.
Yeah,
upgrade a few things, but I'm almost there. Otherwise, I've just been using my pistol. So we're playing more of these games in the coming time, I'm assuming. I also want to start playing multiplayer games with you guys a little bit again, because I now have my office set up. That was also part of the problem the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
I was recording in my kitchen in the middle of the house, which now the kitchen floor is all torn up, so I don't want to be in there. But when I bought the house, I failed to notice there was only one cable modem hookup thing in the entire main floor, and it's on the exact opposite side of the house from where all the bedrooms are.
Yeah, next to a fireplace.
Next to a fireplace.
Like
a
weird.
Well, I'm assuming the previous owners had a TV above the fireplace.
Above the fireplace?
Yeah, okay. Like, that makes sense to me. But it's more of a dining area to me for whatever reason. But literally nowhere else in the house, no other bedrooms, no other main, like, living room didn't have a cable hookup in it. So
You had to get that all set up. That's understandable.
So yeah, now I had a buddy of mine come over and he installed a cable hookup in what I wanted to be my office. And so now I'm set up in here. I just need to clean the room. But the important part is I actually have a space to record that's not in the middle of the goddamn house. And now I also have my work computer set up and I have my personal gaming computer set up, which is what I'm recording this on. So like I can play computer games again. And it's been a month really since I've played computer games. I played Diablo with you guys a few weeks ago, but like.
I was going to say that you were playing Diablo with us when the Roto Rooter guy was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home ownership's great, man. It's the American dream.
Hey man, it'll all get better.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So we got some tweets.
Yeah.
Tweet. Doing the
tweet. Well, are we calling this one tweet? Tweet corner? One text message.
Tweet corner?
Tweet corner.
It's the tweet corner. Insert your own theme song in your own heads now.
I know how to whistle.
All right. What do we got?
So this one is not a tweet.
Oh.
It's a text message because a certain someone's wife doesn't know how to use the internet.
Now she's just stubborn and refuses to reset her password for whatever reason.
So... So us being a fan of multiplayer games and everything, she would like to know our favorite local two-player games or favorite casual or mobile game. And, as a side note, also possible changes in the future for those.
Okay.
For local, I mean, I can't remember the last time I actually played like a local couch co-op game. I don't remember the last time I played one. I guess Jackbox.
That counts.
I guess, would we count that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so Jackbox Party Pack. That's a good time.
What about, like, old school?
Ooh, Streets of Rage 2.
Okay.
Sega Genesis.
All right.
Mario Party.
Also a good answer.
GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. Super Smash Brothers.
I guess you could just name them all, I guess.
I mean, could you pick...
Beetle Adventure Racing.
Could you?
Yeah.
Could you pick one?
Pick one that's my favorite?
Yeah. Are you going to go Streets of Rage?
No, I'd say probably the most favorite... Best memory I would have is probably Super Smash Brothers for the 64.
That's a good choice.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking current local, I was also going to say Jackbox games because that's really the only one you can technically play. Like if people are streaming, but it's more like I consider that more of a local game because it's all about being in that room with the people laughing at the choices you make. So I totally agree with that. Past ones, I'd say Mario Kart probably.
64 or
yeah, Mario Kart 64. Just because that was a local, you had to be in person. I don't even mind, you know, Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U, even though you can technically play that. I think that might be a local though. I've only played it locally,
I've only played it local too.
But yeah, I mean, I'd say Mario Kart.
For me, I'd probably say, but for current stuff, Jackbox is obviously up there. I actually Misty and I played that the other night. Misty and I actually every once in a while will. Take a night and just play on her old Super Nintendo or the Wii. Play, let's see, there's Tetris Attack, which is competitive Tetris, which is fun for those. That was on the SNES. Then there's also another game we play on Wii called Dokapon Kingdom, which is a weird Japanese RPG turn-based thing. It's you're on like a giant Monopoly board, but I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's a lot of fun. We turned into a drinking game, so that also makes it a lot of fun. But I'd say old school stuff. I'd probably go with Mario Kart 64 or GoldenEye. I'm going to lean Mario Kart, though.
It just occurred to me, too. Halo 2. Oh, I remember playing that locally back in the day. Multiplayer with some friends. Just all local. Everybody brought their Xboxes over and you just played locally multiplayer. That was...
So, for Halo 1, 2, and 3, a few buddies of mine from middle school and high school always went over to one of our houses, and we wouldn't bring over all our Xboxes because we didn't want to lug the gigantic CRTs, TVs, televisions
sure,
over.
Sure.
So we'd play split screen, and we'd sometimes play free-for-all, but usually what we did was play 2-on-2, and one of my buddies had a larger TV than the rest of us in his basement. So we'd go down there and play, not all day, but like, you know, we were actually outside playing football or basketball stuff too, but like we played a lot of Halo, especially once it was dark out. And so we had to combat screen looking. We did a thing where we built a, took a piece of cardboard, cut it out so it fit around the TV, and then made like little anchors that we connected to the TV. So it split the top from the bottom, and then we'd throw a sheet over it. So the people who were on bottom were on the same team and underneath a sheet. And so the people who were playing on top couldn't see that. And we could see their screen. It was amazing.
It's genius. You kind of miss that with being able to play multiplayer online all the time now. But
I'm actually going to change mine. I'm going to say Halo 1, 2, and 3 local multiplayer.
Yeah, split see, screen. It didn't even occur to me until after you were given your answer. And I was like, oh my God, I remember playing Halo 2 in my buddy's basement. And just, he was coming at me with the sword. And I just happened to kill him with the shotgun just before he...
It's the only counter.
As he was lunging. And I was just like... And we won the match, and I was like, "Oh my God, I can still remember that."
Those are good times. Yeah. We're gonna talk more about that kind of stuff in coming episodes, I think.
Yeah,
because there's so much we just gloss over.
And also, side note, she wants to know when my fan merch comes out.
Your fan merch. So, what are we talking, like T-shirts with your face on it, or hats?
There's gonna be a towel with just my face on it.
Okay. The other thing that occurred to me is like we could actually just make a fan, like a fan.
Yeah.
With Chris, it's just Chris's face on the fan.
I'm gonna have hand towels with just my hands on them.
I want a full body
pillow
towel so I can dry myself off after the shower.
I can make you one of those big pillows, whatever they're called.
Waifu pillow.
Ooh, like a spoon.
I want to make an actual fan with Chris's face on it that doesn't look like anything until you turn it on, the blades start spinning fast enough, and then it's just Chris's face.
His face. I love that idea.
hey, hit us up, people out there.
Do you know somebody who knows somebody?
I got a fan guy.
What I mean, I like the hand towels.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm surprised that's not out there. It has to be out there already, right?
No.
Hand towel with my hand. That's like a dad joke. It's like, what is that? What's a hand towel?
It's a hand towel.
It's got hands on it.
It's for your hand. Mr. Balloon Hands.
So we got one more tweet, right? We got tweet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tweet.
You want me to read it?
I was like, I don't have it pulled up. So
I thought you had it ready.
I do. So at KatieDoodles8 asked at CGY Podcast, new game show hosted by AC Slater. It's not just Candy Crush; it's full contact Candy Crush. Discuss.
So this is on CBS, right?
Yeah, I remember the night this happened because she tweeted at us as I was commenting on how she should note this time as the time I gave up on network television.
What was your response to her, like, on this tweet?
Oh, I my personal account, I responded with, hey at CBS, you know. That's it.
So, you know, I haven't actually watched it. I saw an advertisement for it on PlayStation when you're like,
that's exactly where I
going
saw it.
Through the, you know, choosing Netflix or HBO or YouTube or stuff like that. It's on there, and Misty and I saw it, and we're like, is that fucking real? That's real. There's a actual Candy Crush television show hosted by Mario Lopez.
Yep. And her saying it's not just Candy Crush, it's full contact Candy Crush is an exact quote from that promo if you click on the link.
I did not do that, so that's news to me.
Yep. That was not made up by her. That actually came out of Mario Lopez's mouth.
And to quote a YouTube comment, this is cancer given form.
Well,
yeah.
Have you actually watched anything from the show? Has anyone?
Other than the promo that looked like it.
I don't even know
contact.
If it's even out. I guess it's just the promo, huh? Didn't show any like.
The game. Promo had people like tied together, and they had to like spin and play Candy Crush on large screens, and like.
What the actual fuck is happening in America?
Exactly. Like, they had to run through obstacles to then play Candy Crush on a giant board.
Okay, see, I never clicked anything, and I haven't watched anything. I kind of envisioned it like the people / contestants were the candy. Like, they were given giant old Fruit of the Loom costumes that weren't being used anymore, and they had to do something like an obstacle course, like Double Dare style, or something like that, where then they had to match themselves with two other people.
That would make, I feel like your version of it would make it watchable, but from what I saw from the promo, it was almost insulting that I watched it. It almost insulted me, because it just wasted my time.
Respect to AC Slater, still getting work then.
Is this really work?
He's getting paid for it, I hope.
Or he owed somebody something from Saved by the Bell days, and this old person is thinking, the kids love Candy Crush, let's make a game show out of it. Where's Slater? Get him on the phone.
AC Slater's still relevant, isn't he?
Here's the twist. He is getting paid in Candy Crush currency, so he has more lives.
I mean, it's not a bad gig.
If you play, I'm gonna go Desmond on this one. You know,
if you play Candy Crush, somebody got paid a lot of money to come up with this idea.
I hope not.
CBS picked it up.
I hope not. Well, on that note,
yeah, on that depressing Candy Crush on television note,
it's time to end the podcast. We're coming in at 2 hours recording time here.
Oh yeah, my lord.
So, I'll start off by saying thank you for listening, and thank you for putting up with the lack of content for a little while there. Like I stated on Facebook, if you look at our Facebook group, it's at CGY Podcast on Facebook. I put a little State of the Union address to everybody, and things are headed in the right direction now, and we're going to get back into doing regular stuff. So it's only uphill from here. So yeah, thanks for listening. You can, like we just did, you can tweet at us or ask us questions, or if you have a personal number, you can text us. But if you have a question, you can tweet at us at CGY Podcast. And we'll read your questions on an episode and come up with some kind of genius response to them. Or you can actually follow us on Twitter on our personal accounts too. I'm at that Adam guy 9787.
I am at Myron.
I am at Dusta Rhymes 42.
Like I said, give us a follow. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. And that brings us to our final bit of the episode, our weekly shower thought. And it is this. Assuming I can find it. There it is. Rappers pretend they have more money than they really do. Country singers pretend they have less money than they really do. And on that note, that's it. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Come Get Your Podcast. And we'll be talking to you soon. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye. I love you.
Bye.
I love you.